We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. The usually Friday, but now Wednesday DFS version. We are recording a little bit earlier as Friday is Christmas, so we appreciate everybody jumping on. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always by Andrew Laird. If you could please rate or review the podcast, we'd greatly appreciate that. If you enjoy listening to us this year, want to give us a bunch of stars, that'd be great. Andrew, we were just talking that it's somehow week 16. I don't know how that happened, but how are you?
I'm good. I feel like this is the part of the season, 16, not as much as 17, but like 16 is like where we start talking about guys we've never heard of because, you know, people are either ruled out or their, you know, teams are giving up. But it seems, as weird as it is, in a year where, you know, the COVID absences have created like such chaos, it doesn't seem, I mean, knock on wood, it's Wednesday. So like, but it seems like week 16, there's really no concerns of people resting or other like lineup things that could really throw us for a loop. And I was saying to you just before we started recording, like I did all the research that I normally do going into our Friday podcast. It's 2 days earlier, and yet I just really don't have a great feel on this slate. I think partially because there are too many players who are available. We always talk about how I like it when there are fewer decisions. It just seems like there are a ton of decisions this week.
Yeah, even so, I mean, it's only a 10-game slate too. I mean, we've got a lot of games that are off the slate. We got a Friday night game, which is Christmas, or a Friday day game, I guess, is Christmas. We have three games on Saturday. The NFL has decided to put my 49ers on Amazon Prime only. So that's from Super Bowl champions to flexed off Sunday Night Football for the Giants Browns to Amazon, the Amazon Prime game. It feels like we're slowly becoming the Jaguars. Really, we're gonna play like four London games next year. It's gonna be
right.
But we've got Bucks Lions is a big total that's off the slate. Titans Packers is a 56 total off the slate. We got Bills Patriots Vikings Saints I mentioned on Friday. That's a big game too. So weirdly enough, we're left with 10 games. Only one has a total over 50. So we're at a week here. We've got to try and find out which games we think, you know, get a little crazy. We have Falcons Chiefs is 54, and I think a lot of people are gonna be stacking a lot of guys in that game. Although, as you pointed out last week in Chiefs Saints, they're expensive. Like you can't just you can't just stack Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill and hope to do anything else with your lineup. I mean, those guys are really priced up this week. And we've got three games that are 45 and under. We have Colts Steelers. We have the Steelers offense, which is just slowly sinking into nothingness. They were brutal on Monday night. Panthers, Washington football team, 44.5. Some of that's a function of the football team's defense being pretty darn good. And then Giants, Ravens is 45, kind of a function of the Giants defense being good and the Giants offense being really bad. Giants games are averaging a league low 39.6 points per game overall. They are the team with the lowest combined total in games. So it'd be interesting to see them against Lamar.
It's at least you can find the positive there that the defense is playing well.
Exactly. Where there are some teams. But first of all, before we get to the slate, Jets, winners. Congratulations. First time this year, I can tell you that you're a winner by being a Jets fan.
Did I win?
I was setting you up for that.
I jokingly sent a tweet that Adam Gase is going to look to the fact that the Jets have won every single game when Frank Gore has at least more than 21 carries. And so obviously that's the key to victory in the NFL.
You joke, but that's actually not that far from probably what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
just gotta get the guy some touches here, man.
It was a wild week of them beating the Rams, the Bengals beating the Steelers, and you mentioned nobody resting. Like, the Chiefs are the only team that really is kind of in cruise mode, but they're only two games up on the Bills and the Steelers, so they still need one more win to clinch the number one seed. So it's nice that we have like fantasy football playoffs and stuff are usually week 16 because nobody plays week 17, but there's always some guys that rest in there. But like you said, there's really no teams that are off the gas fully yet. There will be a couple maybe next week, but none this week. I think everybody's a full go.
Yeah, it's there are obviously a few injury concerns that that we have every week, but like nothing drastic. And of course, it's Wednesday, so like we don't have any firm guys ruled out yet. But you could probably say this every Wednesday. I'm not expecting a lot of things to change, but right. Because it's Wednesday, we have plenty of time to like figure out what the different paths are depending on who start. If guys are in or not.
Yeah, I think it was Saturday last week where Ezekiel Elliott said he wasn't playing, and Tony Pollard suddenly became a big flashing play. So there will be some changes, and we've got some guys that are questionable. We'll kind of hit all those as we're going through. But let's jump into running backs. We're used to Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook atop the slate. They're both off this week. Cook's playing Friday, and Henry's playing Sunday night. So we've got nobody over 8,000, it looks like, at running backs. We've got this top group of Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler. David Montgomery has joined the top tier, which is a month ago you would have laughed at me if I said anything resembling that. But we've also got Jonathan Taylor up here at 7,300. What are you doing with this top group here of maybe four guys over 7,300?
It's funny when I saw, when you see David Montgomery that yeah. high, you're just like, all right, who else am I playing? Because I can't pay that much, but he's been awesome. I mean, every week it seems, the schedule is working out perfectly for the Bears. So every week, you're like, which team is favored with a decent total, and gives it, is playing a defense that gives up a ton of yards or a ton of fantasy points. And we're here again with David Montgomery. Jaguars have given up the third most fantasy points to running backs this season. They're obviously, it was funny. We were talking about how the volume wasn't there 2 weeks ago for Montgomery. And we were like, if I told you that he only had 11 carries, it'd be yep. an easy fade. And of course he had 115 yards or something around there.
Yep.
32 carries last week.
Crazy. It's almost they looked at the box score and oh my God, I can't, we only gave him 11 carries. What were we doing with a lead? And all right, well, time to tote the rock, David. But yeah, 33 touches last week, 32 carries. Like you said, 146 yards rushing, two touchdowns. He's up to 7,700. DraftKings is not messing around. They are definitely pricing him as if he's one of the really good running backs. But I saw a stat that you take his whole career, which is only 2 years, but his five best games, the four of them have been the last 4 weeks. So far and away his best month that it's actually his four of his five best games in the last 2 years.
Last 2 years. That's wild.
I mean, he's been balling. I mean, you mentioned Jacksonville. He've allowed 150 rushing yards average the last five games. Derrick Henry had 215 against them famously 2 weeks ago. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards had 106 yards combined last week. So, I mean, they're definitely gettable. They're bad. They're talking about Mike Glennon might start again this week, and him and Minshew were kind of in a competition this week. Is he going to start? So I don't think they know what they're doing there. I think that they very much want to lose now. I mean, obviously, they have the number one pick now over the Jets. That was the big thing about the Jets winning is they went from 1 to 2. But Whereas the Jets seem to be like playing hard, especially recently. And I think everybody on the team did not want to go 0-16. You fully get as a player, like people joke around online, but you could never want to be 0-16. I think Jacksonville wants to go 1-15 pretty badly.
I think like they wouldn't have, obviously 1-15 when you have the number one pick is a lot different than 1-15 when you have the number two pick. Yes. Like now that they have the one, like they have no incentive to win.
They can't blow it back. Right. Like you just figure, but, so I want to talk about Nick Chubb. He's playing the Jets. I love Nick Chubb. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows this. He has 30 carries of 10 plus yards this year, which is obviously a lot of chunk play, especially he missed time too. We got the situation like every week we're like, oh, well, the Jets are really good against the run. Even if they, you know, teams have leads on them, they still pass because it's so easy. They've even given up 100-yard rushers since Melvin Gordon in week four. We've talked about that stat a bunch of times over the last month. I think Nick Chubb's really damn good, though. Consistent touches, too. Like, I know Kareem Hunt gets involved, but, you know, it doesn't come. Chubb still gets his 16, 17, 18 carries. The Jets were good rush D last week, though, against the Rams. They held Cam Akers to 15 to 63, and that was a guy that was really starting to get rolling a little bit. I like Chubb at 7,800, but want to know what you think going against your Jets here.
So looking at since week 10, inclusively, where do you think the Jets rank in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs on DraftKings?
I would go like 8th to 10th best, something like that.
They are the best.
Wow.
No team.
You set me up badly then.
No
well
team
done.
Has allowed fewer points to running backs than the Jets. Granted,
that's why, I mean, I know that they're easy to pass on, but those are games that, like, I know the Raiders game, they almost won. They won last week, but those are games that they're losing. Like, those are games they're trailing in the fourth quarter, the second half. That seems incredible. I don't know if it's, I mean, it's obviously a mix of them being good against the run and everybody being able to pass against them easily, but, that's tough. I look at Chubb and he like screams out to me under 8,000 on the slate, but you're right. Like that Jets run D just, it hasn't worked.
So they gave up in that span, five games, basically. They didn't play in 10. So 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 weeks-wise. They gave up 149 rushing yards to the Seahawks. That game they lost 40-3. Now, granted, 40-3 included some wacky stuff. Like, it wasn't just all offensive points anyway. They gave up 46 rushing yards to the Chargers. 94 to the Dolphins. These are just to running backs. 67 to the Raiders and 65 to the Rams. One rushing touchdown in that span and zero receiving touchdowns.
It's crazy. It's every week we talk about it, you're like, oh, running back against the Jets, you know, with a lead, great game script, and it just doesn't work. But I don't know. The one guy that I might have to do it with is Nick Chubb, just because I love Nick Chubb. I love this offensive line. I mean, this offensive line is really, really good. We're talking about it on they played Sunday night. They're talking about their offensive line coach, how good he is. I mean, it's just they just mow people over. They're blocking really well. Hunt and Chubb, you know, have had some big games, but it'll be interesting. It's kind of one of those things like the stats line up to the Jets run D is really good, but the game script and the offensive line matchup, it'll be an interesting matchup. I think that I think Chubb hits one though for a good chunk play.
I mean, he certainly could. I'm just not expecting him to be that popular. I think that they're matchup wise and certainly price, since he's the most expensive. Is he the most expensive?
He's the most expensive that I considered. I don't know if there's anybody that's hurt or anything.
But he's the most expensive. I mean, not counting McCaffrey, who we're not expecting to play.
Right.
Exactly. I think, like, as crazy as it sounds, I think the guys below him will be much more popular. Like, I think, including Montgomery, I think Austin Eckler should be really popular. He's 7,600 on DraftKings. Like, Miles Sanders.
Love Miles Sanders this week.
Yeah, like we loved him last week, and of course it was the Jalen Hurts show. But against Dallas is just that's like an ideal matchup. So like there are a lot of guys you can play, and I mean that doesn't even count Tony Pollard on the other side of that game if Zeke doesn't play. Like there are enough guys to play that I'm not sure you need to take the most expensive one in like a not perfect matchup.
So talk to me about Eckler. He's played four games since he returned from injury. His DraftKings points have been 23.9, nice, 10.8, not so nice, 23.6, 11.9. Last week he was 13 for 60, but he had like a 30-yard run late that kind of boosted up those numbers. He looked really kind of – he didn't look bad. The offensive line just looked bad early. He was getting hit early. That was a game against the Raiders on Thursday. He had four targets, four catches. he's tough because, like, if he gets those 10, 11 targets, he really starts to work, especially in PPR. But if he gets four targets, he doesn't work anymore because he's not a guy that's really feeding at the goal line. Like, he gets some goal line carries, but he's not, you know, that guy you expect to get, you know, two touchdowns in close, you know, like Leonard Fournette did. It was so gross. Only one touchdown in the year. I know he missed a bunch of time, but only one touchdown from a top running back is, you know, not something you'd love to see. I just think it's tough. I mean, it has to work out where they throw a bunch of passes. And if, you know, it was weird last week because Keenan Allen was hurt and kind of half played and it was, you know, not very involved. Mike Williams was on limited counts. You would have thought like Eckler would have been peppered with targets, but it just didn't happen. It was Hunter Henry. It was Jalen Guyton. It was Tyron Johnson.
Basically everybody else.
Everybody else. Yeah. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss beat this Denver defense up pretty badly. Denver defense is really banged up. They're bad right now. 21 for 149. I really want to love Eckler, but I'm a little bit worried about the four targets last week. But it's certainly a good spot.
Yeah, I'd like to consider it an outlier more than like a new change.
And I think that's fair too.
I mean, I think he'll be popular, but like, I don't think you actually like you have to have him. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of running backs. I think you can play this week. I mean, we already talked about Chubb and Montgomery, and they're basically similarly priced.
Yep.
So, like, I think they're all fine. I don't think you can go wrong. Like, last week was kind of a weird week because, like, everybody should have played Tony Pollard. Like, he should have been 100% owned everywhere.
There were just so many options last week.
Yeah. But, like, he was the easy one. And so there were some people who, like, stuck with Leonard Fournette. But I saw a bunch of things on Twitter about how Pollard was much lower owned in low stakes than high stakes. And everyone was like, well, that's because sharper players like figured it out. But I mean, maybe that's the case. I mean, obviously we know that, or we assume that most of the sharper players are playing higher stakes, but I forget who it was, but somebody was saying how like the reason Pollard like wasn't that popular is because he wasn't touted that much. And it's like, well, when you're a Saturday scratch in terms of Elliott, like, yes, you're not going to get touted that much. And there are plenty of like NFL is probably the most recreational DFS sport in terms of like participation. Like there are plenty of people, many more people who are just going to be like, I'll just throw $20 in and like no problem. And they'll do it on Wednesday and not think about it again until on Sunday. And even if they do check, it's like, let me just make sure everybody's in.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're going back out. So, so last week was easy if you had the Pollard news because we knew like you're probably paying up. Like Henry was really popular, and then all the Dalvin Cook wasn't, which is kind of like what we thought on Friday. Everybody.
And then you had Kamara who became really popular once Michael Thomas
exactly.
was out. You had Jonathan Taylor against Houston. I just think there were so many options at running back. I was flipping through. I was actually paying attention. I was looking at my sheet from last week. There's just a lot of guys that were playable. And if you played four receivers like in a DraftKings tournament type setup, there were only two spots of running back. And I just found myself, I played Pollard on some, but I found I'm not doing it on everyone because there were just so many guys that I didn't want to play also.
Yeah. But I think you generally, like once you had Pollard, there was a pretty basic lineup construction that you were going with because you weren't paying so much for three running backs. Like my first build last week was Henry, Taylor, Kamara. And like that it's tough to build from there, but then all of a sudden when you have Pollard, like everything opens up and we don't have
Michael Gallup scored for you though.
That's right. I didn't end up with him. I ended up playing
Lynn Bowden Jr.
That's right. Who was fine. He was fine.
Yeah, he had like seven or eight targets. He was all right.
But like this week, I think there are cheaper guys, but like they're not nearly as good as Pollard. And so, I think there will be plenty of cash lineups with like two of these expensive running backs, but like, I don't know if you necessarily have to do it. So like construction is definitely tougher this week only because Pollard wasn't like a free square by any means, but at least when you had like a safer pay down running back, that really opens things up elsewhere. And there are pay down running backs this week, but they're not Tony Pollard. And so I wonder if that will just make more people pay up for these guys because they know what they're getting.
So let's jump to Pollard since we're talking about him. He's up to 6,500 on DraftKings. They're playing Philadelphia this week, who played pretty well against the run last week against Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. But Pollard was was obviously huge at the price. He was 12 for 69, two touchdowns. Granted, he had that 40-yard touchdown at the end. His line was really ugly running-wise before that. But the key to me was not the running line. It was how they used him in the passing game. I think it was the most important thing. If you were watching, and I watched that game, they played the Niners, so I watched the whole game. he had 9 targets, and they were like setting up plays for him. It wasn't just like pure dump downs. Like, they were setting up him on the outside, trying to get him in space. It was very clear to me that with Tony Pollard in the game, they were trying to use him in the passing game, which they don't really do with Zeke. I mean, it happens sometimes. Every once in a while he gets those big target games. But it seemed to me like they were game planning to get Pollard in space. If they're going to do that, like that if you're going to get 9 targets, like that is a huge for a running back. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the 12 carries are fine if you get those 9 targets.
Yeah, like if you saw his stat line and Austin Eckler's and you were like, whose is whose? Like you would have flipped them easily.
Right.
So yeah, like it's weird to say this, but like I'm definitely interested in Pollard at 6,500 and I have no interest at Zeke at 67.
Oh, I don't think that's that crazy. I mean, Zeke, it looks different when Pollard's out there. And I'm not saying he's better or whatever. Maybe Zeke's not healthy, but like the way their offense is set up right now, it just feels like Pollard's a little better fit for what they're doing. You know, which is not running the ball up the middle 30 times a game behind that awesome offensive line where they were 2 years ago. Whereas, right. Like, you could have put anybody in there and he was rolling it, and Zeke was, like, a perfect fit for that offense.
Yeah. I still think you just find the money for Miles Sanders, though.
I do, too. I mean, I think the question is, you know, who do you play with Sanders more than, you know, who do you play instead of Sanders? Sanders is 7,000 on DraftKings. The touch has been up the last 2 weeks, 18 each of the last 2 games. But, you know, Dallas is allowing 4.9 yards per carry to running backs, 31st in the NFL. It's a nice mix with him and Jalen Hurts. We talk about it, you know, that running quarterback, you kind of have to have a spy on that guy. With someone like Sanders, who's so explosive, like that's a great mix. He didn't do a lot last week. He was 17 for 64, 1 catch for 27 yards. But, you know, they kind of got in a back and forth a little bit with Arizona, had to catch up. They got down early and then had to catch up, and they ended up, Hurts had a huge game. Sanders at 7,000 this week was my favorite running back by a pretty good margin when I looked at the slate.
There's some guys below 7,000 that
talk to me. Let's do it. Cause I don't love a lot of guys down here as much as I do normally.
I think they're all guys like you could play and nobody you're really that excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a $6,100 running back who had 100 receiving yards last week on 11 catches, 11 targets.
Freaking David Johnson.
I mean, home against Cincinnati, obviously Cincinnati coming off that huge win against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever consider David Johnson above like 5,500. Like, I feel like I'm paying up for David Johnson now.
Yep.
And that never feels good.
He hadn't had more than 4 targets in a game all year. It freaking 11 and he caught all 11. Like, it's funny. I kind of half watched that game and I went back and watched it, and you look at it, it's just weird how that happened. Like, I just don't know. They were close with Andy the whole game. It's not like they were way behind, just dumping down. And, you know, nice game script this week, 9-point favorite. I just don't think I can do it 6,100. If it was like regular targets every week, it just seems like, you mentioned the outlier with Eckler. Like, this is like the biggest outlier I've seen all year. I mean, it's just crazy that they're using the passing game, even without Will Fuller. I mean, you know, Will Fuller's not there, so that changes things. But 11 targets, I don't. Oof. I mean, he was 8 of 27 rushing and had a huge game. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And I mean, the Bengals allow 4.9 yards per carry there. They're right with Dallas in that stat. But I think I'm happy he got priced up 6,100 because I think that makes it easier for me to not take him.
Oh, okay. I like that call. Yeah. I like that.
But like, if he was 5,500, like, I'd be like, oh my God, I guess I have to do it. But I don't think I can do it this week.
I'm going to skip down quickly because.
Please do.
It's in this game. Gio Bernard at 4,800 against the Texans.
Running backs against Houston, it's been like a formula all year.
Like, you would think that the minimum salary for a running back against Houston should be 5,500.
Yeah, it's just that they played Monday night, and he had his big game on Monday night after the salaries came out. The week before, he got benched for fumbling once, which is great if you're like going to someone good, but they went to Samaje Perine. Like, it just makes no sense, but.
And he's been in the NFL for 35 years. Like, benching him after a fumble is not doing anything.
And he's not a guy that fumbles. Like, it's just, it was so strange. But I really wish Bernard was like 6,000 so I could just skip past him too. But like, he was good. I mean, he was good in fantasy wise against Pittsburgh because he scored twice. So he was 25 for 83. It's not like he was lighting it up. I mean, that's a lot of carries for only 83 yards. But he played 38 snaps. He had 26 touches. Like, that's a crazy percentage of times where he touched the ball that he was in the game. The issue here is game script. Like, they got up against Pittsburgh big, or they were 17-0, I think, in that game, or 17-3. Yeah. You know, they haven't been up like that probably all year. Even when Joe Burrow was playing, they had back-and-forth games. But Houston's allowing 21 points per game to running backs, which leads the league fantasy-wise. Jonathan Taylor wasn't huge against them last week, but 83 yards and a touchdown was, you know, workable. 4,800 is just really, really low.
I think that's what, like, it comes down to. Like, you're, if you don't play him, I'm not saying, like, you have to play him. If you don't play him, you have to look at if you're looking for some sort of cheaper running back.
Right.
The options are fairly ugly. Like, I really wish J.K. Dobbins was the guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's Gus Edwards still 11 touches last week, and Dobbins looks good. He was, what, 14 for 64 and a nice 17-yard catch, but he's going to have 15 touches. It's hard to do it at 6,200.
Yeah. He's been, like, incredibly consistent. Like, he's yeah. – it's, like, more than 13 points on DraftKings in four straight games.
If you gave me 22 touches, he would be like the biggest slam dunk for me. Like, it just I think he's so good in an offense where, you know, again, you have a running quarterback that takes the attention away. They use him in the red zone, you know, sometimes. I'd love him if he was just if Gus Edwards just kind of went away a little bit.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I think he should be like in this matchup, if he was getting 20 something touches, like, he should be 7,500. Like, he should be in that Montgomery range.
Yeah. But then, he's got the explosiveness plus the touches. It'd be huge.
But 6,200 almost seems too expensive for, like, limit or, you know, shared work.
Like, I mean, 9 touches wouldn't be crazy. Like, it's possible. Right. And you think he's probably going to get 14 to 15, but, like, the game goes a little bit weird. He gets 8 to 10. You're like, oh, I don't want that. So.
Right. And he would be a classic guy for us to break off a long run, get tackled at the one, and then Edwards comes in and finishes it.
Of course. So, what about there's one guy I do really like down here, and it's gross to say out loud, but I'm not going to say it yet. I want to talk about Melvin Gordon. He's 5,600. He's another guy, though. Like, if there was no Philip Lindsay, I think Gordon has looked good the last 3 weeks, which is, you know, I never think Melvin Gordon looks good, which is weird. But he has 17, 16 to 15 touches the last 3 weeks, over 80 plus total yards in all three of those games, but hasn't topped 35 snaps the last 4 weeks. You know, he has 9 touchdowns. Philip Lindsay has 1. So they clearly use him in the goal line situations. He just becomes super TD dependent with the usage. Like, he has to score to work because they just don't give him. Like, another guy, though, like Dobbins, if he had like 22, 23 touches, I'd probably do Melvin Gordon in this matchup. But, you know, they're underdogs to the Chargers. Drew Locke is a freaking mess right now. They've turned the ball over 18 straight games, which is their franchise record. It's like, I think once in there they have a clean sheet there, but it doesn't happen. But so you go up $200 at 5,800. How do you not entertain Le'Veon Bell this week with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out with his injury? Bell was 15 for 62 in a touchdown last week. It's a really tough New Orleans run D. They are the highest team implied total on the slate. The Chiefs are offense is obviously awesome. They're big favorites. Were they like 9.5, 10-point favorites against Atlanta? He hasn't looked explosive, but a lot of work in a high-scoring offense, under 6,000. Atlanta rush D is better than their pass D, but what do you do with Bell this week? Because I saw you roll your eyes and move your head and every other bodily function you could do on a Skype chat. What do you do with Bell this week?
I mean, he like checks every box that you want.
He actually kind of looked okay last week.
He did. The touchdown, he looked spry even.
Yeah, spry. I haven't used that word about Le'Veon Bell in a while.
So the Chiefs have a 32.5-point implied total, and the next highest is 28.25. Like, they're so much higher than everybody else. Cleveland is the next highest. I think at that price, like, if Bell wasn't there and it was Edwards-Helaire, like, we'd probably play him, and he's been awful.
Like, if I told you that Bell gets, let's say, 17 touches. Use him at the price.
Yeah, no.
I think I do too.
You definitely play him.
I think that's probably about what he'll get.
Right. Do you think they use him more than Edwards-Helaire?
You know, from watching their games, it feels like it. It feels like they trust him a little bit more. Right? It seems like CH kind of gets lost in offense a little bit. And, you know, he showed a few flashes last week too, which is disappointing that he got hurt, because he made some moves. I'm like, oh, there's the guy that, you know, the low center of gravity, shifty guy that we're like, oh, that's the guy that's going to fit well in this offense. And he had a couple big plays or a couple good plays. And then you're like, here it is. And then he had the bad injury, and we don't know if he's going to be able back for the playoffs or not. But yeah, I feel like they trust Bell a little bit more, and they I mean, last week that you know, the Saints played them like, okay, well, we're going to play, you know, six safeties deep and you just go ahead and go underneath and run. And it, you know, it kind of worked for a little bit. And Mahomes had a 5.4 YPA last week, his lowest of his whole career. And I think defenses have to play that way. It's the only way to slow them down. I think that at some point the Chiefs are going to have to take that. And with the way the Falcons are bad against the pass, you would assume that they're going to play the pass and let them run. And it's just a matter if the Chiefs want to take it or not.
The biggest benefit of playing Le'Veon Bell is not having to play David Johnson.
It's a really good point. My benefit would be like, you don't play any of these guys down here except for him. Like,
well, that could also be the case. Yes.
Yeah. I just like, I like Melvin Gordon the way he's playing, but you know, with the touches, and you mentioned JK Dobbins, you mentioned David Johnson. Like I was looking for a way to get away from those guys and Bell just might be it.
What year would you think it was if I told you in week 16, we were playing Gio Bernard and Le'Veon Bell on DraftKings?
And David Johnson and Melvin Gordon. Like, if not for mentioning J.K. Dobbins in there, who was like 11 when these guys were good, like, right. It's just it's weird. So we talked about Bernard. The other guy down here, I think we have to mention, weirdly enough, the Falcons, Raheem Morris came out this week and said, oh, by the way, Ito Smith's our starter at running back, which is Ito Smith hasn't done anything. Like, I guess Todd Gurley's looked terrible. Don't get me wrong. Nothing with Todd Gurley. But it just seemed weird that it was like a very bold and statement like he's our starting running back now out of nowhere. I mean, his carries last 4 weeks have been 12, 9, 11, and 6. So, like, getting some work, but not to the point where, like, we've got to give him the keys, the offense, because he's been so good. But he's 4,000 on DraftKings. The announcement came out after, you know, prices have been set. Tough game script, though. They're at Kansas City. They're the other side of this Le'Veon Bell game. But Kansas City's allowed nearly 150 total yards per game to backfields. Not a lot of big running back one games, but a lot of, like, combo backfields or guys out of the backfield. I don't know if they're behind and they're dumping the ball down and Matt Ryan, you know, Julio Jones probably won't play again. We don't know for sure, but I don't think he's going to play. I don't know. Ito Smith, Min Price. What do you think? That's what I think. That like sigh of like, damn it, I wish he wasn't 4,000 is exactly what I think.
Yeah. I will do everything I can not to buy into the Falcons backfield. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody that like was talking about Gurley 2 weeks ago. So
you love the Falcons.
Yeah. I think there's just like too much uncertainty. They potentially could get absolutely blown out and we're having to like need 7 or 8 catches from Ito Smith is like not a position I want to be in.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It was just really strange that, he came out like it was out of nowhere and it was like, all right, he's the guy. I mean, he was 6 for 24 last week and 11 for 42 the week before that. It's not like he was like flashing with some big plays. Like, oh, we gotta get this guy the ball more. It's just, I guess it says a lot about Todd Gurley more than anything.
Since we're talking about Todd Gurley, I'm gonna bring back Melvin Gordon since I always mix them up. And I want to thank you for not making fun of me because he actually does have the revenge game this week. And
he does. Yeah, no, I should have, but I decided I joked about it once with you. I was going to. Do you do anything with the Rams rushing attack? You know, I use attack mildly, but Cam Akers is hurt. He has a high ankle sprain, probably not going to play. I would say definitely not going to play this week.
Yeah.
I just don't see anything here. Like Darrell Henderson had that chunk of carries like weeks 3 to 7 or so. He's like 14 carries in 4 or 5 games, but he played 7 snaps each of the last 2 weeks. And I know that Akers had taken over, but like they don't really seem super fired up to get him super involved.
Yeah, Akers was like the only one I wanted to play throughout this season. Like he just wasn't playing. Like the number of, it felt like I wrote 50 showdown articles, like Cam Akers starting to come out and it just like never happened. I remember that one specifically when Sean McVay was like, we're going to get him the ball a lot. And he played snap.
I think it was the Niners, I think too. I don't think he played the whole first half. It was the.
So like Akers is one that I would consider if he was healthy. Although I'm not even sure I really want him at 6,300 against Seattle. Like it seems like a game that should be back and forth and I don't want the running attack. And so the possibility of split work is not there.
You think Rams, Seahawks, you're like, oh, back and forth. But like weirdly, these defenses are playing better and the offenses are kind of not playing well. It's a strange, I looked at that game too. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be a big game. And I started going through players. I'm like, oh, I don't really want that many of them. It was, it's weirdly more of a defensive battle than you would have thought maybe earlier in the year.
They're definitely priced up. Yeah. As if they're still like offensive teams. But like, if this game has 80 points in it, nobody's like shocked.
I'd be shocked with 80.
70. Whatever. If this game wasn't like 38, 35, like you're just like, you're blown away at that.
No, that's a good point. It's just weird. I mean, Seattle's just not playing like that.
Yeah.
Right now. It's very, like, last week they're up 20-3 on Washington and, like, fully went off the gas. It was, and ended up not covering, which pissed me off anyway. But, like, they just, they weirdly are going off the gas right now. You could, and their percentage of plays that they pass the ball in early downs is way down. And, you know, we kind of joked earlier about them, you know, running the ball and kind of going back to that, the Pete Carroll mindset after that, the four turnover game at Wilson. But they've actually done it. Like, it's really, yeah, it's really strange. But the one thing I want to mention, like, you mentioned that McVay thing with Akers and talking, like, when you play Ito Smith, you do that with the thought that you actually believe Raheem Morris too. Like, you know, coaches say things and you're like, it doesn't work out. Like, if Ito Smith is, you know, 6 for 18 in the first half, like, I don't think they have any sort of feeling they have to, like, ride him the second half either. So, like, if you play him, you're believing that Raheem Morris actually says that, and he said that, but you're actually believing that he means it. So it's another step that I kind of am scared of Ito Smith, because I don't know if I fully believe that they want him to touch the ball that much.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem like the Falcons' backfield is just not one we've thought about all season.
I don't really want to play Bernard, but I play Bernard over Ito Smith.
Yeah. Okay, great. I agree.
They're both under 5,000, so yeah, that, like, kind of makes it. So, any of the running backs you want to mention before we hit the passing games?
We didn't talk about Mike Davis at all. I don't think anybody's going to play Mike Davis, but I don't think he's that bad.
I just don't like his usage lately. He only played 37 snaps last week. They don't seem to be riding him like they were earlier in the
year. Definitely not, yeah.
Maybe they figured out he's maybe not that good and they're shifting away. And McCaffrey still is wanting to play. I don't know why they put McCaffrey out there. It'd be really strange for him to play. The only guy I want to mention is James Robinson, you know, the guy that we've loved a lot of the year. He had an ankle sprain late last week. It sounds like he's kind of leaning towards playing. As of this morning, they're thinking he's expecting him to play. Going against the Chicago D didn't, like, jump out to me as a guy that I love. But 6,800, you know, under 7,000, he's very involved. I just think it's hard for me to get him in when I like Miles Sanders so much more at $200 more.
It seems like every week we're just like, the matchup isn't that great. And then he has, like, another 25 points. But,
yeah. He didn't do a lot last week and then got hurt. But I think that the ankle might be enough to maybe move me away this week.
Didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Did not. It's crazy. It says enough. It says everything about the Pro Bowl, I guess, you need right there. Because, like, James Robinson should be in the Pro Bowl.
It's absurd. Just absurd.
Yeah. So let's jump into the passing games. But first, a note from our sponsor, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM is teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use the promo code ROTO, that's ROTO, to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer is not available in Nevada. So, passing game, I think this week, Andrew, starts with talking about Patrick Mahomes. Like, 8,500 at DraftKings, playing against the Falcons. The first, like, kind of down week last week, and he still had 3 passing touchdowns. So, when you saw down week Mahomes, I don't know if you watched much of that game, but he had that play where he was, like, backing up and hit someone in the corner of the end zone. I was like, he's throwing the way. There's nobody open. And I was like, oh, my God, how did that happen? Like,
it was Hardman, wasn't it?
It was Hardman. I don't know how they saw. I don't know how he saw him. I don't know how it worked. Like, the play was dead, and he's just so damn good. But 5.4 YPA last week, his career low. We talked about it earlier. The Saints very much played him against the deep ball, and it was a very clear strategic decision, and kind of how the Niners played in the Super Bowl until they fell apart late. But, like that's the blueprint of how you don't stop them, but you slow them down, less possessions, etc. The Falcons have been better against the pass, but they've faced a lot of weak quarterbacks lately. Tom Brady smoked them last week in the second half, 390 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had like 60 yards in the first half or something crazy. I mean, he just, you know, as he does against the Falcons, got pissed off in the second half. I guess my thing with Mahomes is it all depends on how you build your team, but like he sticks out as clearly the like number one quarterback on going to be on every projection system this week.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the other ones, but like it feels like everyone is expensive. Potentially, yeah. I don't want to say they're overpriced, but on a 10-game slate, like you're probably trying to play one of these more expensive ones because obviously the best one's on the slate. But like, we just don't normally have, what is it, six that are over, that are at least 7,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah. And they moved Hurst up to that range.
Yeah. So it feels very strange to say, I think all of these quarterbacks are too expensive except for Mahomes, who's the most expensive. Like, I think he's actually underpriced.
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, he's the clear class of this group. And, you know, if the Falcons have been better lately, but they still have allowed the most completions over 20 yards of anybody in the NFL. So, like, it's a prime hit a couple of big plays. I guess the thought with the Chiefs is always like, oh, they got to get up. We got to get up. But they still throw the ball. You know, the second half of the season, they've clearly thrown the ball even with leads. You know, they haven't covered the spread in six straight weeks.
The Falcons?
No, the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs?
They keep getting up and kind of letting teams back into games. Last week, the Saints scored with like 2 minutes left to not cover the spread. They pushed in that game. And the week before, they were up and gave up a touchdown late, too. They just, they've kind of gone off the gas, especially on defense in the fourth quarters of games.
Were they were 7-point favorites with Miami, right?
Yes. That was the game they won by six, right?
Yes. So they got up, and I saw like multiple people tweeting like, that line was ridiculous.
Yep.
Like they should have been so much higher. And then the game ends and you're just like, this is why those guys make so much more money than us.
Yeah, I had the Chiefs in that game minus six, and I was like, oh, well, that one works. Let's move on to the afternoon game. And like, not so much.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you, everything you said about Mahomes. I'm curious, like, we talk about how quarterbacks like are always pretty spread out on slates. You know, I don't really stress about percentage ownership with quarterbacks, but I think Mahomes will be pretty damn popular this week.
So I was looking at the UF collective ones that we have on RotoWire. And
let me guess, because I haven't looked yet. I'm going to go like 17, 18%.
They have Mahomes at 24%.
Wow, that is high for a quarterback.
And the next highest is Jalen Hurts at 9.
Like, I think that's going to be it's going to be a clear number one with Mahomes this week.
Yeah, which like we just went through running backs and – to comfortably get Mahomes in, you're playing potentially playing Le'Veon Bell and Gio Bernard to get Patrick Mahomes.
In a tournament, would you do Mahomes with Bell, or is that something you don't want to mess with?
Yeah, I'd probably not do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
There are cheap, like, we'll get to wide receivers, but like we mentioned Hardman, like, they're... Other than Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the Chiefs receivers are cheap, like for how ridiculously explosive that offense is. And so there are definitely ways
they're also correctly priced because aside from Hill and Kelce, like none of them do anything. Like, it's just
they're just not consistent.
Game by game, someone's going to hit and someone's going to score. But like Hill and Kelce are so heavily targeted, it's hard to figure it out. I don't want to spoil receivers, but I do like Hardman at a very cheap price this week.
Totally agree with you.
Nine targets last week.
So we were talking about how you would want to stack this game, but everyone is just really expensive.
Because if you do it, you want to come back with Ridley, and he's like 8,500. It's tough.
I'm trying to pull it up quickly here, but the so like my blind stack thing that I do. Obviously, that game has, or at least the Chiefs have the highest, or that is the game with the highest total.
But yeah, Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, I assume, is the highest on the blind slash.
So it's actually Mahomes, Tyreek, and Sammy Watkins, and Kelce. Like if you went like all of them,
right?
They cost 31,000 combined on DraftKings. The next highest stack is 26.2.
Wow.
Like they're $5,000 more than that. They're an entire player more.
Is the next one Seattle?
The next one is it's Atlanta.
Oh, all right.
Because that probably includes Julio though, who's not going to play. So
I figured it was Russell, Metcalf, and Lockett. Although Lockett's priced down now, but I was trying to figure out who the next one was.
Yeah, it's the Chargers are kind of expensive.
Yeah, because
and
Allen's
then it's
way
Seattle.
Up.
Yeah. But just like, I think most people are going to try to do like Mahomes and then like Hardman. We'll get to why in a little bit. But like, stacking this game is not going to be easy. But the easiest path to the to the Chiefs passing game is Mahomes. Like,
yeah, it's
Tyreek has a bad game. Kelsey has a bad game. Mahomes can still throw for 350 and three touchdowns. So
I don't think Kelsey knows what a bad game is. It's incredible. 8+ catches in 7 straight games. Like, that's, there's 3 guys in the history of football that have done that.
Yeah. It's,
it's a crazy stretch of consistency.
Yeah. I just hope that he ends up leading the league in receiving at this point.
That'd be awesome. I would like to see that too. So let's jump down to a couple of these cheaper guys. You know, and I say cheaper, they're still pretty expensive. We've got Lamar Jackson's 8,000, Russell Wilson is 7,300, Deshaun Watson 7,600, Herbert 7,400. I like Deshaun Watson and Herbert probably of the group. I am not playing Russell Wilson. It's a rough stretch of stat games. They're playing against the Rams, who played him really well the first time. If you do drop down from Mahomes, you can put Jalen Hurts in this group too. He's 7,000 now. If you drop down from Mahomes, maybe you're playing Bell, you want to go something different, you want to save $1,000. Who are you focusing on in this group?
I think Lamar is better than all of them, but I don't know how you play Lamar if Mahomes is only 500 more.
I think that's a really, it would have to be a build where you just are fading Mahomes and want to be a little bit different. And, you know, Lamar is 25+ points 3 weeks in a row. He kind of looks like a different guy. We talked about last week how he looked, you know, looked really quick. And, you know,
looks like Lamar again.
Yeah, once he put the spikes on. I like Deshaun Watson this week at 7,600. He's not been a top quarterback since Will Fuller went out, but he's still 2 of those 3 games. He's over 300 yards. Last week, just a weirdly high scoring quarterback week. So he was really good last week. The only reason he wasn't top 7 or whatever he was, over 9 YPA in 2 of those 3 weeks. I just think Deshaun Watson's so good. The ceiling's probably a little more limited than I want without Will Fuller. Like, he was a big play guy that, you know, if he was going to have that huge ceiling game, it's because Will Fuller made a couple big plays. But good matchup. You know, I know they played Ben Roethlisberger well last week, but Ben looked terrible. And they've played bad quarterbacks the last 5 weeks. So any stat you see with Cincinnati last 5 weeks, they played Ben, they played Andy Dalton, Tua, Daniel Jones, and Alex Smith. So, like, I'm not taking those stats really seriously. They gave some huge games before that. I don't think many people are going to play Watson this week, and I kind of like another 300+ yard game.
Do you have any concern that David Johnson has 25 carries? I literally couldn't even say it without laughing.
11 targets is all we need. As long as he's catching passes, I'm cool with David Johnson being involved.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, Deshaun makes sense every week. Like, it's,
but he's not. I mean, he's not cheap. He's not a value. He's 7,600. Like, he's probably correctly priced. I just think he's really good, but, you know, you can go any of these guys in this range. Wilson's wild. Like, I know we hit on it real quickly when we talked about Seattle and the Rams earlier, but he had, so the first 7 games of the year, he had 3+ passing touchdowns in 6 of those 7. The 7th, he had 2. So, like, still was involved. The last 7 weeks, he has 1 of those games.
Wow.
It was against the Jets. He had 4 against the Jets. The other 6 games, he has 2 or fewer. Like, we talk about them shifting philosophies, but, like, he's been a top 12 quarterback once the last 7 games. It's Russell Wilson.
What was, like, the point of this change? Like,
I he had that 4 turnover game, and they're like, we don't want to, like, lose games like that. And, like, I'm obviously a Niners fan, and we play Seattle, like, they play us well, like, all that. The thing I want is Russell Wilson not running around and making plays. Like, if I'm rooting for this game, I love when they hand the ball off. And granted, Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde are pretty good players, and they do their thing, and they could do it. But, like, if you're going to give me less possessions, less time to worry about Russell, like, as an opposing fan, I take that every time. I hate what they're doing right now.
Yeah, no, it makes total – like, the more Chris Carson, the better for a 49ers fan. So,
right? I mean, he had and Wilson had 9.9 points against the Rams in Week 10, and the Rams defense is really good. I know last week did not show that against your Jets, but the Rams defense is good. He was 22 of 37 for 248, no touchdowns in Week 10. Like, if you want to go contrarian GPP play, like, Wilson Metcalf is the play this week because they're awesome players and no one's going to have them compared to normal. But I don't like anything I see out of the Seahawks offense right now.
I totally agree. Particularly when we have guys in the price range that we like better. Yeah. You know, it's like, he's not a value. Watson is obviously very good. Herbert, I don't know how I feel about Herbert anymore. I'll probably play Watson over Herbert.
The sneaky part about Herbert is, like, everybody's like, oh yeah, he bounced back nicely last week. He had that 60-yard bomb in overtime, and then the rushing touchdown. Like, completely changed his line. Like, it wasn't suddenly it looked really good, but it wasn't looking that good till the end, and he got lucky with that. But The Denver secondary is just so banged up right now. Like, Josh Allen absolutely destroyed them last week. And they gave up 300 yards just to receivers last week to Buffalo. Like, Allen had 4 touchdowns, 2 running, 2 passing. Teddy Bridgewater had 283 on the secondary the week before, and that says all right. You need to know it, right? Yeah. There. I think the matchup is awesome for Herbert. It's a game where they're 3-point favorites. Like, could get back and forth a little bit if Denver can actually put up some points. But I think Herbert is, for me, is like the matchup screams that he's got to be at least considerable this week.
I think the real consideration is this the week Jalen Hurts throws for 300 yards or rushes for 100?
Or both, right?
Or both.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Hurts is that he's priced up now. He's 7,000, but he gets Dallas, who's a bad defense. And, I mean, you look at the last 2 weeks, he has 29 carries.
That game last week was wild.
Yeah, I mean, he had 338 and 3 touchdowns passing. And the week before, we're like, well, as long as he runs the ball 12 times, he's got this rushing floor. But, like, oh, well, if he throws it for 340, like, that changes things up, too. And
still ran for 63.
Yeah, 29 carries. Like, I think even if you take the yards, and, like, the yards are great, but, like, if he's going to get 15 to 18 carries, like, that's just – that builds in a floor that you just can't – I mean, he starts with, like, 6 points. He starts with 60 rushing yards, like, as a dead floor if he's going to run the ball that much.
So do you play him?
It's a really good question.
Like, do you think he's not better than Watson?
Like, as a football player? Or no,
like, on this slate, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. I like Watson, but $600 less for a guy with that rushing floor against Dallas, it's hard to get away from Hurts in this range. It just, I want to say yes and be a little bit different, but Dallas gave up 94 rushing yards to Lamar, 74 rushing yards to Kyler Murray. They can't stop running quarterbacks. They've been better against quarterbacks lately, but, you know, Nick Mullins, Brandon Allen, I think that's his name, Lamar and Alex Smith. Lamar's great, but, like, not passing-wise. So, like, I don't really play into their passing stats because that's a group of really bad passing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, prior to that, Ben and Kirk Cousins had 3 touchdowns each in the 2 games prior to that. So I don't buy into the Dallas passing game resurgence. It's hard to get away from Hurts at 7,000. You make a good point.
Like, that's the way I feel. The pricing is very strange. That I was saying, like, we have 6 guys priced from Hurts up.
Yeah.
And we only have 2 in the 6,000s on DraftKings. Like,
wow.
Like, if you don't play Hurts, like, 6,100 is the most you're going to pay for a quarterback. And I don't know if you need to play Baker Mayfield at 6,100. Like, there's no way I'm playing Ben Roethlisberger at any price at this point. But 6,400 against the Colts, no way.
I can't fathom even thinking about clicking that in. There's 2 guys down here that I do am interested in if I'm going to save some money and kind of build a different lineup. The first is Mayfield. I mean, 6,100 passing game against the Jets. We talked about all year. They cannot stop the pass. Last 4 weeks, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, 3 weeks in a row, over 297 yards. He looks like a different guy right now. And, you know, it's a quick stretch, but he looks confident. Whereas earlier in the year, like, you could tell, like, he did not look confident. The Jets played well against Jared Goff last week, but, you know, that's Jared Goff, and we never know what we're going to get. I guess how much will Cleveland need to throw is probably the biggest problem in this game.
I think that's ultimately, like, what it comes down to. Like, the Jets coming off a big win, but they're still a very bad football team.
And they have 2 running backs they can lean on, too, and they are a team that, if they do get a lead, will take the air out of the ball a little bit more than most teams.
You mean Gore and Johnson?
I mean Gore and Ty Johnson.
Yeah, I think.
By the way, I'm happy that Frank Gore didn't have an 0-16 year, and maybe if he finally decides to retire, I'm glad he didn't have an 0-16 year. So I'm
I could not care less. But
yeah, I know. Yeah, but as a 49er fan, I love Frank Gore. So I'm most carries in NFL history.
Yeah, maybe he'll get that one day contract and retire as a 49er.
I hope so. I'd love to have him back. if he wants to come back and play Week 15, 16, and 17 for us a year, I'm good with that.
please. Like, the cheaper guys, I don't think you're going, like, way down. But what do you think about Matt Ryan?
Same thing I always think about Matt Ryan. He's just frustrating. He's so up and down, so inconsistent. How much is Ryan?
5,800. In a game that he might have to throw 50 times unless Ito Smith gets 50 carries.
I'd play Trubisky instead.
I kind of like Trubisky.
5,700 against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 8 straight games. Like, they're getting thrashed by quarterbacks. Even Lamar had 243 and 3 on them passing last week. Not just running, passing. The Matt Ryan, like, game script thing makes a lot of sense. I just, I find it hard to trust him. And, you know, outdoors against Kansas City. I played Trubisky instead.
That's fair. It's the worst part is if you really want to stack that game, it's so much easier to do it with Ryan than, I mean, it's like $2,900 cheaper.
Yep.
Or no, not quite that much. It's close though. But like
2,700. You could get a path that what you do is you play Hill and Kelsey probably and try and really get a little different because nobody's gonna be able to play Hill and Kelsey with Mahomes. So you play Hill and Kelsey without him, and you hope that, you know, Hill gets a rushing touchdown and to kind of take away some of Mahomes' attention, and maybe Mahomes only throws for 280. Like,
right.
There's paths you get. You play Ryan, and it's hard to probably Ridley, Hill and Kelsey.
Gage.
It gets pretty pricey pretty quick. But yeah, if you want to be a little different and still stack that popular game, you know, Ryan maybe could be a path to do that. I'm kind of with you on the Matt Ryan lack of trust.
Calvin Ridley also not a Pro Bowler.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good receivers, I guess, but yeah, he feels like a guy that should be there too.
Feels like it, yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't even look at who actually made it. I just know that.
I was gonna say, I have to admit, you paid more attention to the Pro Bowl than I did, and you didn't even look at who made it. You just know who didn't make it. All right.
No. Yeah, I think those are like, if you don't play Hurts, I think it's like Hurts, Mahomes, and then Mayfield, because I think people were more likely to play Mayfield than Trubisky.
I think that's coming off the hot stretch and the matchup. I think that's correct.
I thought I saw a stat yesterday, which I don't remember how many it was, but I believe the stat was that Baker Mayfield has zero incompletions when throwing into the end zone this season.
Does he have interceptions or all completions?
I think they were all complete. There were zero incompletions. I assume as interception is an incompletion, right?
Yeah. I just didn't know if someone was being funny with their
stuff. No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, these are like obviously passes when a receiver is already in the end zone. Maybe it's not the whole season.
That seems impossible, but that's pretty wild stat if it's true. Like, I'm trying to visualize. He almost overthrew Austin Hooper last week.
I'm trying to think of where I saw that. It was somewhere on Twitter. I'll have to look it up.
Well, there's nothing ever wrong on Twitter. So I'm sure.
It had a graphic, though, so it had to have been real.
Did it have one of those pop-ups like this might be fake news or anything?
No. It was definitely there.
Let's jump into wide receivers. At the top, we have the two guys in the highest total game. We have Tyreek Hill and Calvin Ridley. I guess the question is, it kind of comes to how you build your team, what you do at running back, what you do with Mahomes. But, you know, I don't think you can make an argument against either of these guys. They're both rolling right now. Ridley without Julio is an absolute beast. 10 for 163, another touchdown last week on 14 targets. They're clearly peppering him when Julio does not play. He's been like, I think that's like 5 or 6 games now. He's been really good without Julio. Tyreek has 17 touchdowns, which sounds impossible to say out loud we're in week 16. You know, last week was a little quieter. You know, he scored early, but he only had 6 catches, but still had 10 targets. You're going to be double-digit targets with Mahomes in this game. Like, you got to love that. All of it comes down to price, but I think both of them are very playable and be very good.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. Like, at their prices, and like cash games, there's no way you can play both. Like, you just can't do it. I just wonder how. Like, I think Hill will definitely be popular than Ridley. Like, I think you take the offense that's going to score more points, even though they have other weapons.
And I think a lot of people would just like click Mahomes and Hill, and then like build from there on out and try to figure it out too. Yeah,
That's fair. Obviously having Mahomes and the scoring doesn't work. It's not apples to apples, but like having Mahomes at least gives you a little hedge if you don't have Hill. Cause like he does have a few rushing touchdowns, I guess this season, but, or at least one, but
two. He's got two.
So you can sort of get away with not playing Hill. But I think, like you said, like a lot of people are just going to go Mahomes and Hill, and then work it out from there.
Yeah, you go Mahomes, Hill, you put Bernard in there, and all of a sudden you're starting to build from there. You get some middle price guys. But
what a great sentence that was.
Yeah.
Throw in Bernard in your set.
I was trying to think of the cheapest guy down there, but I didn't want to go Ito Smith. So let's get under 8,000 receivers. I think that Ridley and Hill are awesome. It's just a matter if you can afford them, but like I don't think there's too much to talk about those guys. There's a bunch of guys in the 7,000s here that I think are interesting. You've got Keenan Allen, 7,500, Allen Robinson, 7,700, Metcalf is 78. Do you have a preference down here? Like, Metcalf's weird. Like, he has 100-yard game in the last 6 games. Like, as the Seattle offense and Russell Wilson has gone, so has Metcalf a little bit.
I was looking, basically looking for reasons not to play. Like, what's, do I really want to play this guy? And I don't really want to play Metcalf. I don't really want to play Keenan Allen. Man, Allen Robinson looks good this week. Oh, man. 7,700 is a lot.
Revenge game.
But he, that looks like a fun spot for him.
First first game back in Jacksonville since he left.
Ooh.
Robinson's weird. Like, the floor, he's like the floor from a receiver. You just don't get like this. He's just, he's so consistent. Probably not a massive ceiling, but maybe playing Jacksonville changes that a little bit. I mean, he is, what was he, 4 for 83 and 5 targets last week, but he was huge the week before that. Double-digit PPR points in 12 straight games. Like, just rock solid every week. I think he likes playing with Trubisky more than Nick Foles, which is, you know, weird to say, but I think it's pretty clear that Trubisky forces balls to him a little bit more than Foles did. My favorite stat, I think, of the week is Jacksonville's allowed a 95 yards to a wide receiver in 9 straight games. That's like, usually you see like 4 of 5, yeah. 5 of 6, 4 of 6. 9 straight games, a receiver has had a really, has had a big game against them. It's a wild stat.
And you wonder how they're in line for the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, they're really bad, and you know, Allen Robinson is really good. He's not cheap though. Like you said, he's 7,700. So you have to. You usually were like, oh, Allen Robinson 6,800 this week. Like, easy, nice floor guy, nice play. But he's 1,000 more than that this week. 7,700. It's not cheap.
One of the things what you touched on, like, the ceiling just doesn't seem like that high. 4 games ago, he had 13 targets and 2 touchdowns,
yep,
and had 27 points on DraftKings. Like, that's a 40-point game for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, no doubt. And he had to score twice. I think he had 75 yards. I mean, he was 9 for 123 and a touchdown 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. Like, there's some big games in there, but it's not. It's just more of a solid, you know you're getting, you know, 7 for 85. And, you know, you hope if he scores, it's a great game. If he doesn't, you're not quite getting there. But it rock solid, though. I mean, and dude's so good, too.
Yeah. So, like, I basically threw out guys from that Seattle-LA game. Like, they're all expensive. They're all priced for ceiling. So, like, if you take out Metcalf and you take out Kupp and you take out Woods, then the decision just get a little small. Like, that's how you end up with Robinson, because you're like, Robinson is better than all these guys. How much do you trust Baker Mayfield to keep Jarvis Landry involved enough for an entire game against the Jets?
I don't. I'd play Rashard Higgins instead if I did
something. Oh, okay. All right.
I like Landry, but at 6,900, I think they've priced him up to the point. Yeah. He was 5,200 3 weeks ago when he had that big game. He was on the Millie Maker winning team. 6,900, I think, is a bit too easy. He's peppered with targets, but he's not hitting deep balls usually. The Jets are bad against wide receiver ones. I do get that. But I think he's priced to the point where I don't think he has quite the ceiling that I need for that price. So I pay Higgins at 4,800 instead.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's the right call, too. Like, it's another one, like, I don't really like him, so maybe I'll just play Allen Robinson.
It's funny, though. I looked at it. I'm like, I'm going to like Landry this week against the Jets, playing really well, ton of targets. I looked at the price. I'm like, oh, everybody thought so, too. They
right.
the price
right. So,
fair enough. I do like Woods, I think, a little more than you at 7,000. I think he's the one guy, the one receiver here that I might play. Just consistent targets, 15, 12, 11, 8, 8 in the last 5 games. He usually gets a rush or two also. But, you know, Seattle hasn't allowed a 100-yard wide receiver since week 9 after getting just killed earlier in the year. It's weird how they flipped the switch. And I think maybe, you know, less possessions for the other team with the way they're running their offense too. But I think Woods at 7,000 is the right price and playable at that price, but not someone that I'm, you know, fired up to play this week. But I he's consideration for me.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it. Like,
yeah. Which it doesn't really get you excited at 7,000, right?
Right, right. I would just find the 700 for Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Terry McLaurin is in this range, 6,700. He was super active again last week after the 2 down weeks. He had 12 targets last week, 7 for 77. The quarterback situation, like, Alex Smith is banged up. Dwayne Haskins is at Spearmint Rhino right now. It's just a weird, like, I don't know what's going to happen at quarterback. It's hard to play a receiver at 6,700, despite I think he's great and really, you know, I really like him, but I have no idea. I don't know who's going to play quarterback. I assume Haskins is going to get suspended or something for breaking protocol.
Probably.
I don't know. It's kind of messy there right now. I love McLaurin, but I don't know if I could do it with the quarterback situation.
I love a receiver in that game.
DJ Moore?
How do you not play DJ Moore at 5,800?
The price, I mean, the matchup's tough, but like, the price is way low for a guy that was, he's 90, everybody, people kind of rip on DJ Moore. I know we talk about it a bunch because I love him. He has 93 yards or more in seven games this year. It's like, yeah, that's a big number for that high yards. He was 6 for 131 on 8 targets in his return from COVID. And the last 4 games, he has more yards than Anderson and Samuel do combined.
Yeah. I mean, 5,800 is a slap in the face.
It is. It's insulting to my boy. I'm personally insulted by it. Tough matchup, though. Only 200-yard receivers all year, but two of those have been the last 4 weeks. Ayuk had 119 on him a couple weeks ago. They were really good against Metcalf and Lockett last week, so maybe that gets people away and Washington's D is good. But, yeah, under 6,000. I mean, the talent and targets are just – they're great for DJ Moore.
I mean, I was just – like, if you just start going down the list from McLaurin, I mean, like, I'm not playing Lockett. The Pittsburgh guys, I just don't see a need to play against Indianapolis. Brandon Cooks continues to be priced like he probably should be, but like we have said multiple times, like, yeah, he's a great floor play, but the ceiling is just like never there.
Like, you're probably going to get 6 for 68. And
you're just going to sit there like, yeah, that's what I paid for. And
if he scores, you're doing all right. But if not, you're probably just kind of bummed out at the price.
Right. Right. And so you just like keep going down. Like, there's Amari Cooper at 5,700 in a game they should be throwing. So that's fine. T.Y. against that really tough Pittsburgh defense. Like, Kiki Kuti at 54 is like another. He's like fine. Kuti needs a touchdown to reach Cooks's floor. Like, if you could combine them, then you're great. Yeah. So like just anyone in this pay down group, I'm just like, why don't you just play DJ Moore?
I agree. Moore's bolded and highlighted in my sheet, so I agree there. I do like...
He just starts that way, I think, though, right? Like, yeah, it doesn't...
He does start that way. It's very rare that I actually unbold him. But at 5,800, I'm definitely not unbolding him. So a couple guys you mentioned that range that I just want to hit on. Tyler Lockett, 8 straight games under 70 yards. Like, it's wild. One touchdown in that stretch. He has 2 3 touchdown games this year, and now he has 1 touchdown in the last 8 games. Like, since that Arizona game, he has been, like, worthless fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
It's wild. I do like Deontay Johnson. I know that's going to not going to be a surprise to you also. It's just like the targets are insane. He had 13 more targets on Monday night. Like, I know he drops the ball sometimes. I do get that. My biggest concern is that Ben's just not throwing the ball downfield. That touchdown to Deontay was the only pass he completed over 10 yards on Monday night. Like, wow. That next gen stats little map that comes out with all the maps. He had one ball past 10 yards that was completed.
That's wild.
Crazy. And it was the touchdown to Deontay. So that did help. But 8.59 a touchdown, 13 more targets. I think the price is really good on Deontay 6 man. I think he's playable there. Indy allowed 2 wide receiver touchdowns last week to Houston. Your boy Chad Hansen had that nice broken coverage touchdown. Aguilar had 100 yards in a touchdown in week 14. Kuti and Hansen are both over 100 yards in week 14. So I think Indy passed these. That's something I'm too afraid of. I like Deontay at 6,300, but if you wanted to stay away from the Pittsburgh offense in general, I wouldn't argue very hard with you.
Roethlisberger is like the opposite of Aaron Rodgers with the drops, right? Like, it's like, oh, you dropped one. Let me give you 3 more opportunities. And exactly. Rodgers is like, I'll see you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. You and my family get ostracized at the side over here.
Right.
sorry, dark joke. Cooper's interesting at 5,700. Like, they priced him way down. He was really quiet against the Niners. 3 targets, 2 catches for 10 yards, which is odd. And that game was weird in general. They were like, it was all Pollard and then the Gallup early until he got hurt. But he had scored 3 in a row and had double-digit points in PPR in 11 of 13 before that. So he's been a really consistent guy. And I think the key here is Darius Slay. Darius Slay played really well against Cooper the first matchup. And he's a guy that Cooper's had trouble with. Was struggled against him the year prior too. He's questionable with the concussion protocol. If Slay doesn't play, I get pretty interested in Cooper at 5,700 pretty quickly.
Do you like him more than Russell Gage?
It's a good question. Gage is 5,100 and had 10 targets last week, played 60 snaps. Yeah, I'd probably go down to Gage at 5,100 just because Atlanta's going to have to throw the ball a lot this week. I'd probably go to Gage, but based on the usage last week, you're right.
Yeah, so like I like barely watched the early slate of games last week, and I had Gage in my cash lineup all week and eventually tinkered out of him on Sunday.
I think he scored 6 minutes in.
And like the first text message I get after the game start is you all caps Gage. And I'm like, ah, God. It turned out to be fine.
But I actually thought you had him. Otherwise I wouldn't have said
that. No. Of course, I mean, I did have him until that morning.
That was not a rub it in. I was actually like happy for you. But
yes. No, it turned out to be perfectly fine anyway. But I think Gage, I mean, you have like Gage and Watkins. Like, this is how you stack this game comfortably with Mahomes, Gage, and Watkins.
Comfortably, in quotes. Yeah.
Salary.
If Michael Gallup does not play, 5,300 for CeeDee Lamb, who looked good again last week. 7 targets, 5 for 85. Had the kickoff return for a touchdown, too, on the onside kick. But he hasn't done a lot, but like the targets have been up a little bit last 4 weeks. 7, 9, then he had the 2 good target, and then the 7 again. I think he's live if Gallup sits. It's kind of a big play PPR or GPP kind of guy.
Yeah, GPP for sure. I mean, he makes for a perfectly fine like run back if you go with although I don't know who you're taking Philly pass catchers, but Hurts with CeeDee Lamb coming back.
I have the answer to that question coming up later.
Oh, all right, great. So there you go. There's your nice cheap stack.
Yeah. And we mentioned Rashard Higgins. We were talking about Jarvis Landry. 65 plus yards in 3 games in a row. 24 targets last week. Fantastic matchup against the Jets. I think at 4,800, I think Rashard Higgins is a really good play this week.
Yeah. I think that's, he makes a ton of sense.
And 2,100 less than Landry, like slam dunk for me. If I'm taking someone in that game, catching the ball, I'm going to save the 2,000 pretty easily and go to Higgins based on usage.
You don't want to go 1,100 even cheaper for Peoples-Jones?
I like it, but a big play guy, I think I go with Higgins instead of the price.
Okay.
I just like the targets.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure.
So if Tyler Boyd does not play, he's in concussion protocol, left last week and on a short week coming off Monday night. Do you have any interest in T. Higgins priced down at 4,700? I know the quarterback situation is obviously rough here.
Just like a Higgins stack.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Definitely.
21 targets the last 3 weeks. Hasn't done a lot with them. Hasn't topped 60 yards since week 10. But he's a guy that is talented. And if Boyd doesn't play, I think maybe the targets bump up a little. But I think he's workable at 4,700. I'd probably go Higgins, the other Higgins instead.
Right. How much do you want of the Bengals passing game?
I think that's the key. It's hard to get a ceiling when you think they're going to score how many points, but they are against Houston, whose defense is bad. I don't know. Ryan Philly looked better than Brandon Allen, I guess. But,
yeah, he did.
He looked kind of serviceable against Pittsburgh. He had that rushing touchdown at the end that locked it up. But
he took that huge shot, too, that
gets smoked.
Survived, and it seemed like it seems like the team wants to play with him. That's something.
It's probably the biggest quarterback I've seen in a while where the quarterback did not leave the game. Like, it's wild. Came back in, but he got hit from like 3 different angles. Clean hit, but he got smoked.
Yeah. How comfortable you feel with T. Higgins and Gio Bernard together in a lineup in 2020?
There's your run back right there, right? So let's get under 4,000. This is always the area that I like to get into. There's a couple guys down here I like, but I want you to go first. Anybody you love under 4,000? I mean, love is obviously under 4,000. You get some risk, but anybody you like down here catching the ball?
I do just want to throw out 4,500 Jameson Crowder after 8 targets last week.
Yeah.
But that's it.
He played well.
Yeah. We talked about sort of Hardman who, where is he? 3,100.
Yeah.
The problem is that they can just disappear at any time. It's like Hardman, Watkins, Robinson, like any game, one of them can have like a big one. The touchdown last week obviously makes us feel better about Hardman now, but I'm not sure anything is like drastically different.
The 9 targets were pretty interesting though. Yeah. That's a lot of targets for Hardman. Crazy. Cause I think he played 32 snaps. Like that's a ton. It may have just worked out that way. I mean, look, the week before he played 19 snaps, the week before that 21. He's really you see the 3,100 in this offense, a cheap part of this offense. You really want to get excited. But he's a true boomer bust guy. Like if he goes, he has one catch for 9 yards. Like that's, you wouldn't be nearly not even close to surprised by that.
Right. I think you can say the same thing about Denzel Mims. It's like another one that like people like, cause the talent is there, but
yeah,
it's not like, it's just not the situation you really want to get into. The Broncos guys, like Judy and Hamler. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to bring up Hamler.
Yeah. But Hamler has 5 catches the last 4 games. Like they're using him weirdly. Like he had the 2 touchdown game where he was huge a couple weeks ago and won a lot of people a lot of money. Drew Locke is just a disaster.
He's so bad.
It's just, I think KJ Hamler and Jerry Judy are really, really talented guys. And the quarterback's just killing him right now.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterback killing, like James Washington seemed like he would have been like an interesting one. And then no catches on three targets this week. And...
yeah, it's just so many mouths to feed there that I just it's hard. I like Washington too. I think he's hard to get there.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Hardman just is so much better than everybody in this group, I think. Sounds like you might have somebody better.
I don't know about better, but I have someone I really like. But one note, if Keenan Allen doesn't play, I think Jalen Guyton becomes really interesting very quickly. He's 3,200. He had six targets last week, played a lot of snaps. He plays a lot of snaps every week.
Yeah, he does.
But if Allen or even if Mike Williams don't play, like if one of those two don't play, I think I move to Guyton pretty easily at 3,200. I think that on the field a lot with a team that throws the ball a bunch, with Herbert, who's, you know, obviously can get the ball to guys, which you like with a quarterback. You don't get that many of those down here. That's why we like Hardman and someone like this. Just, you know, your quarterback is going to throw the ball. I think it's interesting. So the guy that I kind of like this week, 17 targets the last 2 weeks, was probably in the mid fives to low sixes earlier in the year price-wise. Only seven catches in the last 2 weeks, but he was 4 for 74 last week. Tough matchup at a game that they're going to be behind, throwing the ball a lot. 3,800, I like Darius Slayton this week against Baltimore.
Ooh. That's funny because I was going to mention Sterling Shepard, but he was at 4,500. I was like, eh, I don't know if I necessarily need that.
I think it's one of those situations where I think Slayton's too talented to be down at this price. I get the quarterback play is a mess, and I don't think Daniel Jones is going to play. I think it's probably going to be Colt McCoy, but 17 targets the last 2 weeks. If you're going to give me 17 targets, eight targets in the game, and you give me someone as talented as Slayton at 3,800, I'm going to take that every day.
Yeah, 8.5 targets should get you about 2.75 catches.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, I would never.
Baltimore's tough. Like, the matchup is tough. I get that. But, like, they're going to be behind. They're going to be throwing the ball the whole second half. You give me a guy that's talented. I mean, Evan Engram can't catch the ball, so I'm not worried about that. Sterling Shepard is really good, but you're going to get more possession guy. If they hit a big play or two, it's going to be to Slayton. At 3,800, I'm willing to take that shot.
That's fair. Yeah, I think for a GPP, that's a fine last piece. Why not?
Under 4,000, very talented in a game where you're going to have to throw the ball. I think there's enough of a formula there that I'm willing to do that and probably over the other guys in this range.
Who's the Philly guy?
Dallas Goedert.
Oh, okay. Oh, not even a receiver. Yeah, okay.
No, I really want to go Jalen Reagor, but it's just not enough there right now to do so. I can't find a receiver. Greg Ward has 3 touchdowns in 2 games from Jalen Hurts, but I think he had like 10 yards last week or something like that.
15, yeah. Four catches on 5 targets for 15 yards.
Yeah, I'm not paying for that touchdown, the touchdowns right there, so I'm not doing it. I tried to find a Philly receiver that I liked it cheap, and I couldn't do it.
Which is funny to like think that after Hurts threw for 335 yards.
So let's jump into tight ends. You know, obviously Travis Kelce at the top, and we talked about the stretch of catches. I mean, he's 8,500. Like we talk about, if he was 7,000 priced like a receiver, you'd play him. But 8,500, I don't think I can get there.
It's funny because like Mark Andrews is the next highest at 5,700, which is a lot for a tight end. Like early in the season, it was probably Kelce like 64, Andrews 57. And we're like, oh, that's kind of, but like... 8,500.
But I mean, he absolutely earns it. I mean, 8 catches in 7 straight games. I have no issue playing him. Atlanta's bad against tight ends. Like an 80% catch rate to tight ends. He's so excited. Everything that I was building and working towards, I couldn't find a way that I couldn't find any lineups that I really liked with Kelce at 8,500.
Yeah. So the way we kind of explained this early in the season when we didn't have an $8,500 tight end, but we had 6,300.
Yeah.
If that was the conversation, then. We're saying if you want to play two of Hardman and Hamler, I'll throw in just for good measure.
Yeah.
You play 2 3,000-ish wide receivers, and then you play Kelce because where he's priced now, you're playing him instead of Allen Robinson or Tyreek Hill or Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing against it, and he's 800 more than Robinson.
Like the consideration for Andrews is like, do you want to play him or like Amari Cooper, DJ Moore? Like he's in that range, but like you're literally playing Kelce instead of the best wide receivers on the slate, which like based on the production is perfectly fine.
It is like it's we say that you're like, oh, I just want to play Ridley, but like Travis Kelce's been better the last 8 weeks than anybody.
Right. So, but
certainly more consistent.
Really what you have to do is the 2v2 of who the receiver is that you're getting. So like, it's really Hardman and Kelce, or I didn't want to use Hardman just because, I mean, you could play both of them because they're both fantastic, but you're playing Darius Slayton and Kelce, or you're playing Ridley and Goddard. And yeah, it's still pretty close.
It is pretty close. I mean, Kelce, it's crazy that Kelsey's so good that's close. Like, normally at the start of the year, we'd be like, oh, easily I take the more expensive receiver and punt the tight end and figure it out. But I don't know. I mean, they feed Kelce like crazy.
Yeah, and he's obviously in a price tier by himself. So it's not like, oh, I want to pay up for tight end this week because there are a lot of guys. Like, you're either paying up for Kelce or I think you're just like, all the other guys just seem so expensive for what they really are. Like 57 for Andrews, 49 for Logan Thomas.
40 feasting right now. Logan Thomas is going off right now.
Well, do you have one good game or is it two?
Two.
Sort of two. Oh, it's two out of three. Right.
Yeah. 15 targets. You're
right.
That is insane.
Logan Thomas is awesome. You're right.
15 targets. Like how did that happen? I have no idea.
I don't get this team at all.
No. And he's at 4,900 this week, so they've priced him up appropriately. Yeah. He's interesting based on the usage, but yeah, I get your point. Like, it's just...
you just have to keep looking at where else... Like, make your lineup with a cheap tight end. Make it with Goddard, who's 3,600. Yep. And then take Goddard out and put in any one of these other wide receivers, or any one of these other tight ends, and just see how far down you have to go in certain spots, and you're going to realize it's probably not worth it.
I agree there. So my question for you, we mentioned Mahomes. You looked up the UF collective, and he's clearly the highest quarterback. Do you think more people will stack him with Hill or with Kelce?
That's a good question, actually.
Can you do? I don't think you could do both and have a workable lineup at all. I mean, there will be people that do it and try. I just think you have to get too lucky with too many other spots. But I was curious, if you thought that more people would go Mahomes Hill at the beginning or Mahomes Kelce to start out with.
If you play the three of them on DraftKings, you have 4,000 left for all of your remaining spots.
So you go 2,000 on a tight end, or 2,000 on a defense, 2,500 on a tight end, then you're like at 4,800 a spot. That's really, I mean, with
we
two
actually,
running backs,
you can have the Falcons, who you probably don't want to play against your three stacks, but they're at 1,900. They actually broke the 2,000 barrier. But you have the Jets. So the Jets' defense is 2,000, and that gets you to 4,400.
Right.
And you don't have a cheap tight end to fill because you already filled it. You already filled your tight end spot. Yes, I guess you could play two tight ends.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You probably have to go like Bernard and
Smith.
It's kind of the only path, right? You go maybe someone 6,000 cheap, and then you're going $2,000-$3,000. It's hard to get there.
Now, granted, you are paying down for a running back in the game that you're expecting the Chiefs to blow them out because you're taking Mahomes, Tyreek, right, and Kelce. So if you plug in, so Mahomes, Bernard, Smith, Tyreek Hill, Kelce, and the Jets defense. So you have two wide receiver spots and the flex, and you have 4,400 per spot.
Yeah, man, there are going to be ways you can look back and that would work, but there's just no way I can do it going forward and be comfortable with Atlanta.
Actually, you get up to 5,000 if you add Hardman, and now you have to expect that Mahomes throws 7 touchdowns.
You never wouldn't. It probably would be the first time, right? He probably has a 6 touchdown game.
He probably has a 6.
7.
One,
yeah.
I think more people play Hill because people are more comfortable paying all the way up for a wide receiver than a tight end. But yeah, I think Kelce might be the better play.
It's interesting. I mean, if he's going to be definitely less owned, I would think so too. I was just curious of what you thought. You're better with percentages than I am. I think you're probably right. I think Hill comes in higher though.
UF Collective currently, I mean, this is Wednesday. Things change throughout the day, Wednesday even. But they do. Hill at 16 and change and Kelce at 11 and change. And Goddard is next at 9.5. Like, that's it. You're either playing Kelce or you're playing Goddard.
Yeah, that's where I kind of got to when I looked at tight ends too. I mean, I bolded Logan Thomas just because I wanted to talk about him. But I mean, he's 31 targets last week. He's heavily involved, but they priced him up to 4,900. But since week 10, Logan Thomas is third in tight end targets behind Kelce and Waller. Like, crazy how much they've been using him. But 4,900, Fant was good last week, but he's 4,800. I find it hard to pay, and Hunter Henry's good last week. I find it hard to pay $1,300 more when I can get Dallas Goedert, who had 8 more targets last week, 6-plus targets in 6 straight games, 4-plus catches in 6 straight games. Hurts clearly likes him, had a couple of end zone targets last week late in the game. Just playing a lot of snaps. They actually dropped him in price because he didn't do much last week. He's 4 for 39, but had 8 targets. I think 3,600 Goddard kind of jumped off the page to me as the guy to play here if you don't go up to Kelce or someone else.
I think people will still try Kelce and Goddard, like a two tight end build, just because. Yeah. Like if you look at Goddard at 3,600 among the wide receiver groups, and we haven't really talked about a few guys, but like if you're looking for consistency, at least like it's Goddard or Slayton, Judy, like those kind of guys. And so
you're not going to get a receiver down there that has 6-plus targets in 6 straight games.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, obviously the receiver ceilings are higher. They catch a big touchdown pass, and Goddard's probably not going to do that. But, you know, I just think that, you know, 5 for 60 is a pretty good, like, decent bet for Goddard. And if he scores, it turns into a really good game at the price.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously that makes all of the guys not named Kelce and Goddard find GPP plays because
I agree. I think that, you know, Fant and Henry, you know, good plays that nobody's going to have. And, you know, Evan Ingram's bad, but 3,900, you know, a bunch of targets maybe. But what about your theory of tight ends against the Jets? Austin Hooper, 3,500. And it worked out again last week. The tight ends against the Jets, they've allowed 13 touchdowns to tight ends. That seems like an impossible stat, too.
Is that worse than the Cardinals last year?
It's like, seems like it's right there. Cardinals for a while were really bad, then kind of eased off a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's bad. You sent me a message last week when Higbee scored. Like, there it is again. It just kind of happens every week against the Jets with the tight ends.
Every week.
Yeah.
And Gesicki and Waller had 2 each.
Yep.
Like,
I don't think I could do Hooper over Goddard myself, though.
I wouldn't, but sometimes I just decide to not play immediate touchdowns.
Yeah, right. You know the first quarter that Hooper's going to catch him and it's going to be like, oh, there it is.
I mean, I don't know why. I mean, obviously I know why you don't play Hooper, but like in a vacuum, how do you not play Hooper?
Yeah, 3,500 and 6 targets last week. And I think the reason you play Hooper is just kind of up and down. And, you know, he started off slow, then he had the big chunks, then he got hurt. He had the appendectomy. And I think if you want to get off Goddard, who's probably going to be, I mean, I don't think he'd be popular, but probably like 10% owned. So enough people that way more than Hooper. I think he's a fine shift off Goddard.
Yeah, I mean, from ownership perspective wise, like Hooper is 10th among tight ends.
Yeah.
Like, and he's ahead of Andrews. I actually think Andrews is kind of a sneaky play this week, as stupid as that phrase is.
No, I mean, he's coming on though. Like, he's 5,700. I think everybody's going to slide right by him when they scroll. I think you're right. I think they're going to get Kelce, or people are going to scroll down to at least Logan Thomas. Like, I think they're going to get at least under 5,000. I don't think anyone's going to have Andrews. He was 5 for 66 in a touchdown last week on 5 targets. He has over 60 yards in 4 straight games. Lamar seems to be coming on right now as a passer too. Like, he was, what, 17 and 22 last week, like a little more efficient and accurate. Yeah, I think that Andrews at what, 3% maybe is a pretty talented guy at that price.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. You stack him with Lamar?
Yeah.
I like that. Cole Kmet, we talked about last couple weeks, was quiet last week. 2 targets. Did they 64 snaps? I think he's fine at 3,000. If you want someone that's playing a lot, maybe you fall into a touchdown. But I can't do it over Goddard, since Goddard's only 3,600.
Fine is exactly the word I was going to use for Kmet.
Yeah. A lot of snaps, cheap price. But yeah. I think there's enough. There's a couple of guys in the 3,000s that I'd go to pretty easily over him.
Yeah. Yep.
What about defense this week? I was having trouble finding someone that jumped out. I kind of looked at Houston against Cincinnati, but Houston's defense is so bad. Washington against Carolina at 3,000 down here. You know, they didn't do much against Seattle last week, but Carolina's been giving up a lot of sacks the last couple of weeks. They're going to give up 7 sacks the last couple weeks. So I kind of like that one at 3,000. I looked at Philly against Dallas, but Philly's defense is so banged up right now. Where'd you come down on defense this week?
Washington is like where I start now. Like every week, I'm just like, all right, can I get away with Washington? 3,000 is not like that cheap on DraftKings. I usually try to find as cheap as I can, but I think they're fine. The number of times I've played a defense, because I'm like, it doesn't matter who I play, because I'm really playing whoever the quarterback.
Right.
But like, I probably have done that like 5 or 6 times with the Texans this season. And like, they're actually just awful. Like,
they're awful.
They're so bad. It's funny.
We talk about running backs against Houston always, but then like, we also talk about quarterbacks and receivers. Like, it's not like they stop anything. It's just, I've done the same thing with Houston, like against the other quarterback, and it hasn't worked. So I'm not doing it again. I know they're only 2,800. I'm just going to avoid playing that bad defense, and I'll pick someone else.
In the last six games, five of them, they've had zero turnovers.
Like, it's hard to
How does that happen?
Someone's going to fumble at some point, right? Like,
they played.
There has to be a tip pass in there.
So looking at like the opponents, so they played Phillip Rivers twice, no interceptions.
All right.
Mitchell Trubisky, zero interceptions, no fumbles. Cam Newton and Baker Mayfield.
Good Lord. Yeah.
And they had one interception against Jacksonville, who I don't even know who started that week.
Probably Jake Luton.
Right. Like, it's – they're actually bad. And so I'm done with them. There's no reason to play them. Philly at 2,900 seems fine to me.
Yeah, I'd play them over Houston. Washington's right in there. The defense I do really like, if you find yourself with a few extra bucks. I think Chicago at 3,600 is probably my favorite defense this week. They have 10 sacks the last 2 weeks, and playing against Jacksonville, who they may start Mike Glenn, they may start Gardner Minshew. Gave up 5 sacks last week to the Ravens. I think that Chicago, if I had to pick a highest scoring defense on the week, it'd be Chicago right now.
I like that call. I like that. Do you think the Jets or the Jaguars are the better pay down option?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the Jets are the better pay down option, just because I think that Mayfield's been good lately, but can be prone to some mistakes. I think the Jets defense is more talented than Jacksonville too. Maybe a few more guys out there that can make a play.
And do you think either of them are better than the Broncos against Herbert?
I'd play the Jets over the Broncos. I think the Broncos are just so banged up right now. I think it's tough.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and find a way to play Chicago. I think, in some lineups I might not be able to with paying up, but I think 3,600 is a fair and good price. I think you're going to get a chance for a couple big plays there.
That's fair.
And Baltimore at 4,000 is priced up too, and I think a lot of people play them just because they're playing the Giants and they're just a good defense. But I go Chicago.
Okay.
Chicago and Washington, I think, are the two that I'm leaning towards right now. Obviously, it's Wednesday morning, but those are the two I'm leaning towards at the moment. Who knows? As we start in quarterback by the end of the week for some teams. But,
yeah, seriously.
That's probably my path right now.
Okay. I like it.
Anything else on your mind? Anything else you want to talk about in this week 16? It's like, it's crazy how week 16, like, we got one more week, and who knows what week 17 will bring. Some years it looks like kind of a real slate, and some weeks we get some absolutely wild players with guys sitting and stuff. But anything else on your mind for week 16?
No, I'm good.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Obviously, happy holidays to everybody this weekend. Sorry we're at you a couple days early, but I figured listening before Christmas Day is probably a good thing for a lot of people, so hopefully that works. We'll be back at you next week with week 17. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Genstad. Genstad's Genstad. Give me questions or anything as the week goes on and some injury stuff kind of clarifies itself. We're happy to answer stuff on there. Other than that, hope everybody has a great holiday and take care. We'll be back at you next week.